Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Emerging Markets Research EMEA. It's Friday, 9th September 2022, and in this week's podcast, Essan talks about G7 energy price caps and how they might risk exacerbating the cost of living crisis. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, G7 leaders have been cogitating a cap on the price of Russian oil as a mechanism of driving down Russia's energy revenues without causing a surge in global oil markets. Can you offer our listeners the mechanism behind this?
Thank you, Una. So some background to start. Since the US and its allies began to shun Russia's oil, there's been very little sign that the measures are inflicting the kind of pain that might force President Putin to reassess his war in Ukraine. Other countries, including China and India, are still buying Russian energy, and a surge in prices has softened the blow from the sanctions. So the G7 have hit upon an idea to make Russia sell its oil so cheaply that it can no longer afford to wage war. Now, the move, while hard to execute, would also help a global economy struggling with high energy prices that have fueled global inflation. So what's being proposed? Well, the US, the UK and Canada have announced bans on Russian oil, while the European Union plans to ban seaborne imports of Russian crude oil by December of this year and refine fuels by early 2023. And now, in a further step, the G7 economies have agreed this month to implement a price cap for global purchases of Russian oil. Now, while buyers in third countries would be able to access European insurance and finance services to facilitate oil facilities, if they adhere to the price cap, that would slash Russia's profit on those sales. And so under a mechanism outlined by the G7 nations back in June of this year, how the price cap will work is that a maximum price would be agreed in consultation with international partners and apply to seaborne deliveries of crude oil and petroleum products. Now, their main lever is their ability to block insurance coverage for those deliveries, with around 95% of the world's oil tanker fleet covered by the International Group of Protection and Indemnity Clubs, that's the PNI in London, and some firms based in continental Europe. And governments are set to let buyers negotiate for Russian crude and then qualify for an exception to insurance bans if they secure a price at or below the agreed cap, according to senior US Treasury representatives. And finally, and perhaps most critically, Una, is the level of the price cap which matters. Set it at zero is akin to an embargo, as Russia will not sell its oil for free, while set it at market prices, then its novelty is quite trivial. And of course, the lower the cap, the greater the conceptual probability that Russia enters a balance of payments crisis.
And Essan, you have been discussing with me about the viability of such a scheme and why it may face obstacles. Can you elaborate on the hurdles at stake?
Sure, Una. So the major challenge is the following. Theoretically, such a price cap, if fully and successfully realized, would permit Russian oil flows while concurrently achieving Europe's strategy of limiting Russian energy receipts. Practically, however, there are no guarantees that Russia would agree to ship its oil at cap prices, particularly if the cap is close to production costs. In fact, consistent with Russia's actions in natural gas markets, it could indeed retaliate, curtailing G7 purchases of its crude oil and even shut in production. Now, this runs the risk of elevating global energy prices, fanning the flames of global inflation, and worsening the already acute cost of living crisis. Separately, a global price cap can't work without the agreement of all European nations, and that would force the EU to reopen the legal text of its latest sanctions package, which included a ban on insurance cover for Russian oil shipments. Now, back before summer, the sanctions took weeks to approve and had to overcome significant hurdles, since they required unanimity across the 27 EU nations, and particularly Hungary, they opposed a price cap. And if the allies did agree on one, but it failed to hold, of course, that hands a symbolic victory to Russia.
And finally, Essan, What about the big purchasers of Russian crude oil, like China and India? Will they abide?
So, Una, this is open to debate, and we have had mixed signals. Now, a key success of an energy price cap proposals will hinge on the readiness for us of China and India to side with the scheme. Now, both countries may take inferior Russian insurance through the country's national reinsurance company, though it's not clear if any buyer is ready to accept this alternative to the PNI insurance mechanism. And separately and finally, in related vein, Russia also plans to launch a national oil trading platform that's independent of Western energy markets, with the aim of foreign buyers of its oil encouraged to trade there to establish a local benchmark prices. And again, it is unclear at this stage as to whether China and or India will entertain this idea should it gain traction.
Thank you very much for sharing your insight, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.